Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it's powerful. Please help us to understand this today and to be more clear on what you're saying to us today in Dagenham. Amen.
Amen.
Reading from verse 2 from chapter 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." This is the word of the Lord. Right. So we're in the second week of this 3-part series of our overview in Mark, looking at the 3 times that Jesus is declared as the Son of God. Last week, we saw some huge things. We looked at Mark chapter 1, and we looked at the first time that Jesus is revealed as God's Son. This was at his baptism. And we saw Jesus' sonship means that he is God. He is the fulfillment of the promise of Isaiah from the Old Testament that God would come to be with his people. We saw that there was one to come to make way for God. That was John the Baptist. And he made way for Jesus, God as man. And today we're going to continue in our overview of Mark. And look at the second time God declares Jesus as the Son. But this time he doesn't say the same thing, and the situation is a little different. It's not a baptism, but on a mountain. But a question I have as we start today is Jesus the one in whom we listen to above all others? Is Jesus the one in whom we listen to above all others? I've got a story for you. I want you to listen carefully and give me the answer. Ramu worked at a butcher's shop. His height was 5'10". His waist was 40 inches. He worked 10 hours a day and earned £120 per day. What did he weigh? What did you say, Bay? They said me. That is actually the correct answer. I'm hoping some of you are thinking, "Oh, we'll try and work out how much he actually weighs." If not, then you're very clever and it didn't work very well. But the question was not what was his weight, but what did he weigh? And it was meat. Yeah. Listening is important. Listening can be hard, but it is important. And God reveals to us truths, things about him, through speaking, either through prophets or directly from heaven, as we see today, and as we saw last week. It's important that we listen carefully. So we've just read some of chapter 9, and so we're quite far into Mark now. We've skipped a lot of chapters. And to catch you up in the last 9 chapters, what we've seen about, particularly we've seen who Jesus is, who Jesus is. And if you ever do want to read Mark in 2 sections, it can be helpful to read it up until basically this point, chapter 1, verse 1, up until the end of chapter 9, And that's kind of showing who Jesus is, and the rest of the book showing what Jesus came to do, what he came to do. And we've seen much about Jesus up towards this point, as we saw in Joel's talk last week. And he is God as man, and this is made evident in what he's done. He has healed the sick. He has cast out demons. He has forgiven sins. He has calmed a storm with just a few words. He has fed two large crowds with barely any food. He has revealed himself as one with so much power and authority. It's incredible what he's shown. And this first half of the book ends with Peter saying, "You are the Messiah." When Peter called him the Messiah, it seemed like a wonderful moment. Peter's realized who this man is. It's brilliant. Peter has recognized that Jesus is the promised king who has come for his people. But only a few verses later, Jesus is rebuking Peter. So he's criticizing Peter for what he says, because actually he didn't truly understand who Jesus was. And the first time that Jesus reveals what he has come to do, Peter doesn't understand. He said, "Jesus, you're wrong. No, Jesus, what you say cannot be true." Peter doesn't listen to Jesus. Jesus says that the Messiah, what Peter has called Jesus, he has to suffer. He has to be rejected by his people's leaders, and he must die before raising from the dead. And Peter doesn't like this at all. He can't get his head around this. He says it cannot happen. This is not what he expects to happen to Jesus. Peter probably expects Jesus to use his powers that he's seen for the last 9 chapters to conquer the nations, conquer Rome, and make Israel a great nation on earth today. But Jesus says he must suffer and die. Peter doesn't understand. Peter doesn't listen. Let's look at the passage we've just read. Verse 2 says, "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them." Jesus shone brightly, and it must have been incredible. Jesus would look completely different to how they had ever seen him. On that mountain, they were able to see a snippet of Jesus's glory, the glory of God. The God-man shone brightly. This is showing that he is a heavenly being. Him being the Son of God is clearly being shown here. He's like nothing the world could produce. He's whiter than anything in the world, anything the world could bleach. What has been written down for us is making it clear what has been seen on that mountaintop is nothing like anything in the world. It is heavenly. And next to him are two men. Jesus on the mountain is joined by two great figures of Israel's past. One, Moses. One, Elijah. Moses, as many of you will know, was a great prophet who led God's people, Israel, out of slavery from Egypt. That's in Exodus, if you'd like to read. It's a great read. As families, you could even read it before sleep, maybe. Now, reading earlier, we saw Moses on the top of a mountain speaking with God. He spoke with him. They were like friends, it says in Exodus. And Elijah was a great prophet too. He did many great things. One time, he called fire down from heaven and killed a load of soldiers, enemy soldiers. You can read all about him at the end of 1 Kings and the beginning of 2 Kings. Some great stories to read too, some a bit more graphic. And some believe that Elijah may have been the great prophet to come after Moses. So this is a very impressive three standing on that mountain. And you add the shining of Jesus, and it makes it just seem magnificent. This is probably why Peter, in our verses, is so afraid. He has two Jewish legends standing, talking to this man, Jesus, who he's seen do all these marvelous things. He just doesn't know what to say or do. He's glimpsing at the glory of heaven as Jesus stands there. Verse 5, Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. I don't think anyone would know what to say. I think my jaw would have just dropped like something from Tom and Jerry. Peter doesn't know what to say. And then following that, we have our next revelation of God from heaven. Verse 7. When a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." This is my son whom I love. Again, we hear this phrase from God, from heaven. This is my son whom I love. The other two stand on the mountain are not even mentioned. God speaks about Jesus, not the other two. Clearly, we have been shown that Jesus is the significant one. The other two are significantly different. They were great, but the greatest one is now here. People listened to Moses. People listened to Elijah. But now the one who must be listened to above all others is here. His significance is shown further in the next verse, verse 8. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. They're no longer there. The greatest prophet before, Moses, and Elijah, who many thought to be the great one afterwards, gone. Jesus is the unique one. He is not one out of 3 who are equals. He is completely, and he is God's unique and uniquely beloved son. Last week, we saw that the son, he pleased the father. He pleased God in heaven. This time, we're told something different. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to the Son. What is it that you are to listen to? What do you listen to? What do you listen to and walk away with a changed perspective? What do you listen to and walk away thinking, how does that change my life? Maybe you listen to TED Talks or watch Loose Women or other daytime TV. Do you listen to these things and think about what they have said? And does that affect your way that you have perspective on things? Does what others say alter your attitude to other things? Do we have the same attitude towards Jesus? Sometimes, I know I can, we can be in the danger of reading the Bible and then forgetting it as soon as we finish. Maybe we read the Bible in the morning for quiet times. We read it, we shut the Bible, or if we're on our phones, we swipe the app up, then we forget about what we've just read. And we go straight to something else, straight to, I don't know, Twitter or Facebook or Instagram to see what other people have to say. Things that really matter, they're things I'm going to be thinking about through the rest of my day. Does that count as listening, or are we just ticking a box of the Christian life? Why listen to the Son? Firstly, because God commands it. God commands it. In this story of Jesus, this gospel of Jesus, we only have 2 times when God speaks from heaven. And this is the only one with a command, an imperative. And this one command is, listen to the Son. Listen to what Jesus has to say. Don't ignore it. Don't not believe it. Listen to him. And what God is saying now isn't new. It's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy, another book from the Old Testament. Moses writes and says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Jesus is the greatest prophet to come. He is the greatest one to come. He must be listened to. Moses, the great prophet of the Old Testament, said that one would come who was greater and must be listened to. Moses was there with Jesus, but the great one that Moses said was come was also standing on that mountain. Moses' disappearance shows us that Jesus is the one who he was speaking of. God from heaven confirms that here. This is the one who I said would come. He's here. In verse 8, when the three disciples look and Moses and Elijah are gone, once the cloud covered them and they went away, it's just Jesus standing there. He is the one ultimately to listen to. The three disciples should be listening to everything he says. And over the next chapters of Mark, Jesus does a lot more teaching. In the second half of the book, there's much more teaching from Jesus directly to the disciples. So what is it that they need to listen to? Is there anything specific? Now, they must listen to everything that Jesus says. However, what is unique about Jesus is what he has recently revealed in our previous chapter when Peter denied him. After Peter has declared Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus said, you just look a few verses before, chapter 8, verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. And Peter said to Jesus, this can't be true. You can't suffer. You can't die. Peter was not listening to Jesus. He wasn't listening to the Son. But as Joel pointed out last week and last week's sermon, Jesus tells them 3 times that he must be rejected by the leaders of his own people, suffer, die, and rise again. Jesus tells them 3 times. It's obviously important if it's mentioned 3 times. He doesn't speak about anything else that much. God has said, listen to him. So listen to what he says. It may have been really hard to get for Peter. Great prophets, leaders like Moses and Elijah, they weren't killed gruesomely. Elijah went straight to heaven in a whirlwind, and Moses died peacefully. But Peter doesn't realize that Jesus is revealing something about his sonship. He is revealing something that is different about him compared to these other leaders. Peter doesn't understand that the Son is unique compared to all the great people of the Old Testament. He is uniquely the Son of God, the one who the heavens are ripped open for, the one that speaks, that God speaks to the earth for. The one that must die and rise again. God's dearly beloved Son, the one whom he loved, has a unique role. Jesus had explained this to Peter, but he didn't listen. So now, in our passage, the divine command comes. This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. Now, Peter and the apostles in the gospel don't actually understand what Jesus is speaking of all 3 times. They just don't get it. But when they saw the risen Lord Jesus after his death, they knew that it had to be true, that it was true. Today, we know this to be true because it actually happened and his apostles started to church because of it. It is the most important truth of all. If you don't believe it, will you listen? Will you listen if you don't believe this? What is it that we listen to in life? I said earlier, maybe listen to TED Talks or listen to opinions of shouty people on morning TV. Maybe listen to those on shows like Loose Women. Maybe you read lots of articles online or in the papers. There's so many things in life telling us what they think is right. So many things that offer opinions to improve your life and tell you what is true? Do we listen to Jesus in the same way? Do we see what he says and does it affect us in the same way? Do we think about it? Is Jesus the one in whom we listen to above all others? Let's see that Jesus is the Son of God. Yet he was the one who suffered and died and rose again. He said this had to happen 3 times. And if you are someone sitting here today who has not listened to Jesus, who hasn't responded to what he has said, then please do. Please respond to the risen Lord Jesus. And as those who do believe in what Jesus says, let us remind ourselves constantly of what he says. Let us look at what he says as more important than anything the world offers. Listening to Jesus isn't just reading what he says and forgetting it a few moments later. When we read our Bible, don't just shut it off, shut it or turn off your phone the moment you finished. Think about it. Think about it throughout the day. Forget it for the rest of the day isn't listening. We want to be listening to him and responding to what he says, thinking about the truth constantly. Is the truth being the center of our lives and everything we do, what we are thinking about? In the end, it was Jesus standing on that mountain above all the rest. Can you say that Jesus is the one who stands above all the rest in your life? Are you listening to Jesus above all the rest as the Son, the Supreme One, who suffered, died, and rose from the dead? And let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you revealed to us Jesus as uniquely your Son, the greatest man to ever live, the one who should be listened to above all others. Please let us see this as true more and more as days go by. Let Jesus' words be above all others in the world. Let us see that anything in the world that is said cannot come close to what Jesus says. Please help us to listen to him, and for this to be something we do in all our life. Not just when we have the Bible open, but help us to remember these words at all times, that they would be the center of our lives. Amen.